My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All my smell test picks coming up in about 25 minutes. Denton and I will have our final score predictions on Sunday's game at the end of the show. Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Monday and Friday at 12 noon, as our Washington Football Franchise Commanders insider on this program. At Ben Standing on Twitter, he writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe. And, of course, Ben's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can find that anywhere you get a podcast. So, I am going to ask you for your final score prediction in the opener every week. But today I'll also ask you for your final record prediction. But we'll save that. We'll tease that. That'll be coming up at the end. Who's going to play? Who isn't? It looks like Marcus Mariota's out Sunday.
It would appear that way. 2 days in a row, he has not been out there. The interesting thing is here, like, you know, obviously he missed the last few weeks of preseason and practices because of this groin injury. So when he first popped up on the injury report, this week was limited. I didn't kind of think too much about it, but then realized, oh, wait a minute, this is a designation of a chest injury. And so it was limited Wednesday, out yesterday and today. So I'm guessing it's something that happened in Wednesday's practice. I don't know to what degree, but I would assume at this point, yeah, if he hasn't, you know, typically, and this is one of the things we'll learn about Dan Quinn, typically a guy who doesn't practice on Friday outside of, like, the most, you know, needed player is probably out. So, yeah, it's not going to surprise me if Jeff Driscoll is technically the number 2 quarterback with Mariota inactive.
Who else? Is Johnny Newton out Sunday? Who else is missing Sunday?
The Quinn told us was
with Ben. Let's see if we can reestablish rather than catching every third or fourth word. He's obviously driving, probably out to Ashburn. So, Denton, you want to?
You guys hear me?
Up? Yeah. Let's see. We have you back now. Go ahead.
I'm here. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all right.
I am driving to Ashburn. Yeah. The plan for Johnny Newton this week was practice, do some practicing Wednesday, kind of a rest day yesterday, and then see how he feels today from his recovery. So we'll see from Dan. We talked to Dan Quinn after practices on Friday, so we'll get a sense from him. It's not going to surprise me if he doesn't play, considering he hasn't been out there at all, you know, for weeks. So this is not something they need to rush him back for. Obviously, they're a little bit thinner now at tackle because they traded away John Ridgeway, but they also have a couple vets on the practice squad that they can probably plug and play in for a week or so. So I would guess Newton's not going to play, but we'll see. Maybe he's proves that he's good to go and they're optimistic. I think Brandon Coleman will be active. Whether he starts, that's to be determined. You know, again, another guy that missed most of the training camp and preseason. He missed all of preseason. He has been able to practice the last few days, but I don't know. I mean, in talking to some veteran linemen, you know, who've gone through this over the years, you know, especially as rookies at some point, they were like, you know, hey, it's pretty tough to come in that cold and go in, you know, in your first game being you know, the first game you actually are doing any work in. So I don't know if Coleman will be starting, but I would guess he'll be active at a minimum.
I'm sure you've done this probably with other people on the beat. I mean, it's kind of crazy to talk about the back few players of the roster, but do you have your inactive list already formulated? Who won't play Sunday?
Yeah, I was trying to play around with this in my head. So, right, so if we're saying, let's just say Mariota and Newton are out. I mean, they've got seven wide receivers. Are they all going to go? You know, Noah Brown's only been here for a week. I didn't think he would be playing a ton. Maybe he's the guy you sit. On the other hand, you know, they kept Byron Pringle and Jamison Crowder mainly for returning. Do they think, oh, well, you know, let's maybe 1 week we can get away without Pringle and use, you know, like a Noah Igbinoghi or someone like that to return? You know, we figure there's nine offensive linemen. One is probably going to sit. If Coleman is up, then I'm going to guess that maybe it's Trent Scott with Chris Paul able to play guard and tackle.
We'll see it when it comes out Sunday. I knew you had a list.
Oh,
I just
wanted to
make sure that you actually had put together your list.
I thought about it, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Now, what you brought up there is interesting, and that is – who ends up being the primary punt returner and who ends up being back there because you need two of them on kickoff returns? Although, if last night's an indication, we may see a lot of what we saw last year anyway, which is go ahead, start at the 30. We don't want you returning the football. So I'm assuming it's Crowder on punt returns, right?
Yeah, I would feel that that's the case because, I mean, in fact, to your point, the punt returner will be getting action one way or the other. The kick return is another story. You know, I get why they kept Pringle for a variety of reasons. He can also help them as a perimeter receiver. But, you know, that was before they added Noah Brown. So if you're going to activate Brown, you know, this is where, you know, they had a bunch of different guys returning kicks this summer. Igbinoghi, Sanders still was back there, you know, even like Austin Eckler. So, you know, they've got some other options. You could even, I guess, put Crowder back there, at a minimum. So, you know, they have some other options. So, yeah, that may be a
maybe.
Right. I mean, so they can figure out a few things there to get by, and that just may be a spot where, you know, you have to do, you know, you can't keep everybody up.
Okay. You wrote a story that came out this morning titled, "What I'm Seeing from the Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury Has Big Task and Other Observations." And you write in your opening paragraph, "All eyes will be on Jaden Daniels this season, and rightfully so. His offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, must be on top of his game for the Washington Commanders offense to exceed expectations." You and I have talked about this on the air and off of it. We both feel this is a huge spot for Cliff Kingsbury to make this thing easy and make it work with Jaden Daniels in this offense. So tell me how you think he makes it work and whether or not you think he will succeed in that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think for some teams, the talent is such that you don't need to, like, you know, game plan it to the nth degree to figure out ways to get them open. It's more like get the ball to the in Tyreek Hill's hands type of deal and let them go, right? But there are other times where the talent is not so overwhelming, and that this is where you've got to figure out how to be a tactician, how to create plays to get these guys open, how to confuse the coordinator, whether it's with motion or formation or whatever it might be. And this is where I think if for 2024 purposes only, if they're going to have, if this offense is going to thrive, I can't just assume that, you know, Jaden Daniels looks like the second coming from day one. So this is Cliff Kingsbury having to figure out ways to turn these guys into more of a well-oiled machine. Like, they'll say that they've got, you know, receiver talent. Okay, I don't disagree to an extent, but, you know, Deami Brown seems, and so we see otherwise, seems like a one-dimensional deep threat. You know, Zacchaeus, based on his career, it's hard to say, boy, this guy's an every down slot receiver that you're going to rely on. You know, Luke McCaffrey still learning as a rookie. Noah Brown, you know, for all the talk we've given over the last few weeks, other than like a 2 week stretch last year, it's not like he's been a prolific receiver, but he does help you as a blocker. So how do you know when to use these guys? How do you put them, you know, take advantage of what they do? And the same thing applies to the tight end room and to a certain extent Robinson and Eckler, even though their talent's more obvious, but still, how do you take advantage of them so the other team isn't just putting eight in the box or whatever? So I think that, to me, is why this is such a big deal. Sure, he's got to help Jaden Daniels develop. We get that. They've got 87 people in the building to help with that to an extent. They have one guy calling the plays, and he's got to not only obviously design some interesting stuff, but he'll have to, like I said, really scheme this offense to have significant success, at least until the point Jaden Daniels shows his presence, the way the best quarterbacks show, is camouflage other deficiencies.
Talking to Ben Standig. All right. Just give me your best guesses on a couple of things. Who are the receivers that end up taking the field and getting snaps Sunday after Terry?
It's really weird. I can't believe how hard this is of a question. Like to know what to do. I mean, look, I think Deami's deep threat ability meshes perfectly with what Jaden Daniels has shown. He's willing to go down the field. He's got really good accuracy that we've seen throughout the summer, and that's going to be the best guy they have to try to take the top off a defense. But Zacchaeus has had a tremendous is probably overstating it, but like he had a really good summer, and that's partly why they felt comfortable moving on from Jahan Dotson. And then, like I said, Noah Brown, how comfortable he is with the playbook, I don't know, but we, as a physical receiver, he's going to give them a presence on the perimeter as a blocker, and that's something they're going to look for both to help in the run game and also for camouflage. So my guess is those are the top three in some order. Luke McCaffrey is the wild card for me. It is weird that in the unofficial depth chart, he's listed ahead of Deami Brown. I'm not really putting much stock into that at all because those depth charts have historically been unreliable. But nonetheless, I do feel like he's the wild card. And I don't know how quickly it is he's going to be able to do much. He didn't show a ton this summer, but we know that they were hiding a lot because that's what they do. And, he's only, 2 years into his wide receiver career after switching from quarterback. So he's a prospect on the rise, but with a lot of interesting talent, the bloodlines, we get that. So I don't know off the bat how quickly he gets in. So I think the other three are the most likely to be the big receivers. But I won't be surprised if we see Robinson and Eckler get moved out, in motion, the receiver, whether it's leaving an empty backfield or whatever. So I think they'll find ways to get those guys used out there as well.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I can definitely see if they go empty set, which they got to be careful against this defense, unless it's all, kind of screen-oriented, one of the backs being part of that. You've already kind of answered the Coleman, the left tackle situation. Outside corners, is it Davis and St. Juice to start? Where does Forbes fit in?
Yeah, when we talked to Joe Witt, not this week, but a couple weeks ago, he was talking about how, Mikey Sanders still there, trying to use him a bit more in camp on the outside in two receiver sets. Don't know if that's a plan you're going to go with when Mike Evans is one of the receivers on the other team to have a 5'9" and change corner against a, NBA swingman-sized wide receiver. But, I think Sanders still is going to be high in the rotation, one way or the other. He'll probably be the slot guy, as we know, if nothing else. I'm very intrigued to see Forbes. He may be the player I'm most interested in seeing it in terms of, we just haven't, we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, last year was a bit of a mess. There were signs of progress this year. Dan Quinn said that he thought that Miami week, both the joint practice and the game, was a real step up for Forbes, and we know about the playmaking ability that he showed in college, and this is a coaching staff that is really going to emphasize that. And the key is going to be, how do they, integrate the pass rushing, the blitzing coming from all over the place with the secondary. If they can get those pass rush angles and put Baker Mayfield into a situation where he doesn't quite know where the ball, where the pressure is coming from, then maybe this is where they can get – obviously, they have to get pressure, but maybe this is where some of the corners can jump routes, and this is maybe where Forbes gets back to looking like what people thought when coming in. But that said, I'm not going to assume that until I see it. And Mike Evans is a beast. Chris Godwin is really good. So, St. Juice, Davis, Forbes. I think St. Juice would start the other two, including, and then with Sanders still, it probably just depends on what they think Tampa's going to show, but they'll all be out there to some degree.
Who are the primary pass rushers going to be in obvious pass situations, you know, second and long, third and long?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dorrance Armstrong will be out there a fair amount. Frankie Louvu, again, yep. We haven't seen a ton of this, but this is the expectation that he's going to be a guy that lines up plenty on the edge, whether it's as a wide nine or as more of the probably the early down, and then we'll see how much he's out there. When you look at that guy, he just looks like he should be getting 10 sacks a year, and obviously hasn't quite been there, but, you know, he looks the part physically. So, yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting. Joe Witt said that because of the heat, he expects, like, for the defensive tackles to rotate, you know, Allen and Payne and the other tackles to keep them fresh while keeping at least Allen or Payne on the field at all times. So I kind of feel like the same here with, like, Armstrong and Louvu would be my guess. Like, at every point, one of them is probably going to be out there is my guess. But, you know, it's going to be a hot day to start the year, so they're going to try to keep these guys fresh. They do, of course, have a bunch of edge options and tackle. It's a little bit thinner if Newton doesn't go, but, you know, Armstrong can dip inside on some passing downs as well.
Do you have a hunch on any kind of surprise in week one, like, you know, a player that plays more or a player that plays less or, you know, anything that you think you've kind of got a strong feeling about that maybe would surprise people?
I guess the one thing, this is the least sexy option I could possibly give you, but I'm interested to see how much John Bates plays, because when he plays, it's probably going to mean 12 personnel, two tight ends. Yep. And if that's happening, then that means less, you know, three and four receivers, which is a Cliff Kingsbury staple from the past. But they really like Bates' blocking. They're obviously probably going to need help at tackle, right? So, you know, in pass protection. So I could think Bates out there, and that'll, again, dictate what they do. I just don't know if it's going to be, you know, 50-50 or percentage, or if it's going to be, you know, a lot less. But I'm really intrigued to see what Bates does, because I think it's going to say a lot about how Cliff Kingsbury is going to attack at least this game, if not the early part of the season.
I think that's a good one. I think they like him a lot. I think they think he's more versatile and not a bad pass catcher either. But yes, if he's in the game, it's two or perhaps, who knows, maybe three tight end sets where they're truly trying to run the football with the quarterback or with the running back. All right. Time for you to be on the record for the season. What's your record prediction? And then give me kind of what Denton and I did earlier. We gave a few of them. You only have to give one of them. I need a bold footnote, a bold prediction to go with the record.
Okay. So, you know, I've been pretty consistent. You know, the Vegas line is like 6.5 wins. And, you know, maybe it's just because I'm constantly feel like I'm having to slow the roll a little bit about, you know, extreme optimism.
You want me to slow the roll. Go ahead and say it.
You know, you're one of the people. You know, look, you're the voice of the people. But the other variable, though, is the schedule, right? You got to look at who they're playing. And, I think I'm right, because we were talking about this the other day offline. You know, they are now favored in a couple more games than I think they were earlier on. And then also, like, some of the lines are pretty tight, because obviously they've got a last-place schedule. So, you know, we'll see. I think there's more opportunities, I guess, for the other teams to have their own issues and just simply saying Washington isn't there yet. And the one thing I think that gives me hope, if you want to see a year where they even maybe get a winning record, is just that this positive vibes out here, that may just be it by itself. The positivity, the extra effort that comes with it, maybe that gives them enough to get that extra win or two. So I'll go 7-10. That's about as good as I can probably go.
Well, you've been 6-11.
Yeah, so okay. Do you want me to say 6-11?
No. You started by saying, you know, I'm going to be consistent, and you let the good vibes that you've been around kind of influence you with an additional win, which is fine. You're on the record at 7-10.
Yeah, it's not so much. I haven't changed my thought here. It's just that when I look at the schedule, like, you know, that's the thing. Whenever we talk about this team for any team that you're focusing on, it's always focusing on just that team. But when you broaden the scope to, well, okay, they actually have opponents, what's going on there? And, of course, it's impossible to predict what's going to look like in November and December. But that's the point. The other teams have their own issues, and they have a lot of guys who are, you know, a lot of other teams that are going to be picked towards the league's bottom. So, yeah. So I'll be optimistic and go 7-10. But yeah, it's right there on the line. I just thought that to me, that's the ceiling.
Well, give me your bold footnote, bold prediction for the year.
Oh boy. Well, you know, I'll say Brian Robinson. I don't know if it's a bowl, but Brian Robinson goes over 1,000 yards against 10 touchdowns. I think he is positioned to have a big year, you know, barring injury. Again, when you don't have the receiving playmakers on that they have, and you have a rookie quarterback, you've got to find ways to balance that out, protect it. On top of the fact that I just think Robinson, to me, it looks like he's ready to go. I think he's been ready to have a bigger year the last few years, but just the offense as a whole has been a bit of a mess. I think it'll be a cleaner plan this year, and I think it's one that's going to give Brian Robinson every opportunity to thrive. So over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Well, yours is bold, but it's not as bold as mine. My number one bold prediction is that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to rush for 1,200 yards and have 50-plus catches and be a Pro Bowler. That's bold.
Okay.
That's bold. Look, you going 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, it would be his best year of his career, but it's not as bold as mine.
Well, in fairness, I didn't. If I had thought to add receivers, I've been saying I think he and Eckler both get over 40 catches. So, you know, I'll tack that in there as well. But I'll give you the 15 touchdowns.
Give me your Sunday final score prediction.
Yeah, well, this is where my reality check maybe comes in a bit. Again, it's so many mysteries here. We really don't know exactly what this group is going to do simultaneously. Tampa Bay has a new offensive coordinator and Liam Cohen, former McVay guy.
Yep.
Joe Witt was saying yesterday, like, hey, you know, we don't quite know. We've gone back and looked at, you know, are we going to get a Sean McVay offense? Are we going to get something Cohen did at the University of Kentucky, and so on? So that's a mystery. But I Tampa Bay is the veteran team here. It's at, you know, it's in their place, the season opener. I'll go Tampa Bay 23-16.
Yeah, you know, Kingsbury said something yesterday in his presser, and I'll read it because for whatever reason they didn't put the audio out there. He was asked about, and I don't know who asked this, maybe it was you, on this being his first game back in the NFL in a few years, and he said, yeah, I mean, we drew one of the toughest defenses in the league, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach. He said, Coach Bowles has been one of the top defensive minds in football for a long time, and him having a whole off season to prepare for this one always makes a tough challenge, but it'll be fun. I've just been really appreciative of this opportunity, yada, yada, yada. But that is a big part of how you should view Sunday's game, along with something I mentioned last hour, and that is not only is Bowles always been one of the top defensive minds in football, he's got his entire defense back. And they played really well at the end of last year. And they absolutely made Philadelphia look impotent in that playoff game with their pressures and their schemes. Now, Philadelphia was in, you know, free fall. There was a whole lot of dissension with respect to, you know, Jalen Hurts not getting enough from the coordinator and the head coach to handle a lot of that blitz pressure. But to me, that's a big part of Sunday is, you know, is Jaden Daniels in his first game ready for the pressure that they're going to scheme up and bring? And the key to that, I think, Ben, as I said earlier, you got to stay out of third and long, second and long. That's a huge key to this game.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, just, you know, I'm optimistic about Jaden Daniels. Obviously we don't see everything, but from what I've seen and been around him and talked to him, I've just been impressed with what I've seen on the field, what I've seen off the field. Everybody around the building seems to say the same. So it's not so much, it's more about, you know, we don't view Tampa Bay as winning a division title 3 years in a row because their overall record isn't that exciting, but that's the reality. This is a team that has that has won the division 3 years in a row. So as a first opponent, and like you said, defense is going to be a big deal for them. I just think that they're probably going to be a bit too much. And my other concern is, you know, Mike Evans against that secondary, he's ripe for a big day. And if Washington starts getting behind, then I think it's just going to make things more complicated against that defense.
Thank you. Talk Monday. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, man. Have a good one. See you.
Ben Standing, everybody. My smell test next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can download.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Download our app, the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you go and listen to us whenever you want.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.